Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. Today's message is The Power of God, the Holy Spirit. I am Dr. Mary Craig. It is Sunday, February 19, 2023. And this message will be delivered by Stephen Craig, including the opening prayer.
Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying, to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler of the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us, and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility, on bended knee, with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. So this is the Gift of the Holy Spirit series, the Gift of the Holy Spirit message, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We talk about the power of God. God's power is omnipotent. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, goodness, justice, and truth. We can learn from seven Greek words used to describe different aspects of the power of God, the Holy Spirit. I believe this will help us better comprehend the transcending power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives and turn situations in order to fulfill God's highest purposes on earth. I hope this inspires wonder and causes us to humble ourselves before Him in our worship of Him. If we better understand God using His divine power to redeem us and bring us into relationship with Himself, we may cooperate more fully with him as he works to transform us into the image of Christ. So let's begin. So the first word, arche, spelled A-R-C-H-E, arche. This Greek word describes divine power in creation. It is the power that brings forth something from itself as the source or beginning. In English, we have the electrical term, quote, arc, quote, that defines a natural power source. The electrical arc is the point of ignition for machinery. Arche, the ancient Greek is alpha, rho, chi, eta, is a Greek word with primary senses beginning, origin, or first cause. And later, power, sovereignty, domination, ruler, sphere of authority, supernatural power, and beginning, where the aspect is time. So in creation, this word arche, John 1:1, in beginningness is how we translate en arche, that's E-N space A-R-C-H-E, in beginningness, or in the past, when there was nothing. The Word was, and the Word always was with. Pronouns? Prose? Pros. Okay, it is just what it was written as. Okay, and let me do that again here. In beginningness, or in the past, when there was nothing, the Word was, and the Word always was with, pros, face to face with, God, and the Word always was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In beginningness, we see the Spirit of God moving or hovering upon or over the face of the waters. Let's read Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, quote, let there be light, quote, or let light be. And there was light. We don't quite understand it, except deep within us by the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God at his command, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Hebrews 1:10 also has this word arche. And you, Lord, in beginningness, have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. As created beings, we are a result of this arche, power of God, that initiated life as we know it. Now, the incarnation, as it relates to this word arche. We see God's creative power resident in the Holy Spirit in the incarnation. Luke 1:35, Matthew 1:18-20, Isaiah 7:14. The sinlessness of Jesus was not because his mother was sinless. She was not. The sinlessness of Jesus was due to the divine origin of his human nature, namely, the Spirit of God, Hebrews 10:5. Hebrews 10:5. Instead, those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, quote, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you took no delight. Then I said, quote, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. And in a reference, Psalm 40, 6 through 8. In the passage above, he says, quote, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor did you delight in them, although they are offered according to the law. Then he adds, quote, here I am, I have come to do your will, quote. He takes away the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Hebrews 10, 3-10. The arche power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the highest, overshadowed Mary. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and it was the Holy Spirit who made possible the incarnation of Christ. Again, Jesus Christ is a divine person with a divine nature who took on a human nature in a human body. Now another aspect of the word arche, new creation. 1 John 2:24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide or remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides or remains in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. The arche power of the Holy Spirit is the first cause, the origin of the new birth. The Holy Spirit initiates the good work of salvation. Someone is born again, born out of God. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It is the arche power of God the Holy Spirit which creates eternal life within the believer. The Holy Spirit regenerates, and with that regeneration of the heart, the person repents and believes the gospel, his eyes and ears opened. The creative power of God dwells within us, so that Colossians 1:27 becomes our reality. Colossians 1:27 to 29. To them, the saints, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect or fully mature in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving with all his energy, working powerfully within me. And now this fourth aspect of the word arche, in prayer. The Holy Spirit wants us to experience the presence of God. His arche power ignites faith and causes us to desire the holy. Effective prayer has the living God as its source. The Word of God has power, and when we speak it in prayer to God, the Holy Spirit energizes those words to bring supernatural results according to God's own purposes. This is why I believe the most powerful way to pray is to bring God's word back to Him and to request and allow the Holy Spirit to apply those words as He sees fit, as sovereign. The next word, exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia, Strong's 1849. Arche often sparks exousia. Exousia means being willing to do something without being forced or pressured. It is the liberty of doing as one pleases. It also means with deliberate intent, with purpose. It means physical and mental power as well. Liberty of choice. The ability with which one is endued and which one possesses and exercises. The power of authority and of right or privilege. The right to judge. It is freedom, but this freedom or liberty is to be used for the welfare and benefit of others. Authority is the right to impose obligation directly. It can also mean permission to use, as 1 Corinthians 9:12. Exousia, then, is the decisive authority of God. It reflects the power and the right to influence and enforce. So there is authority and divine ability. So there is authority and divine ability to perform a task. Wow, this is good news here. Mark 2:1-12. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, quote, "Son, your sins are forgiven," quote. Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, quote, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" quote. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, quote, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," quote. He said to the paralytic, quote, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home," quote. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, quote, "We never saw anything like this," quote. Jesus healed the man to demonstrate that he had exousia on earth to forgive sins. He had the authority and jurisdiction to forgive sins. Authority, jurisdiction, free will, deliberate, with purpose, as a ruler possessing authority, as one having the right to impose obligation. John 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right, exousia, to become children of God. No one becomes a child of God without first receiving the power to do so. The Holy Spirit has the power to convict of sin. John 16:8. He causes people to confess Jesus as Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:3. The Holy Spirit calls, convicts, convinces, and converts by his power. If we reject the supernatural exousia power of God, we are rejecting the ability to know the living God truly. We must receive the supernatural authority and power of God. Ephesians 4:11-12. Jesus gave the fivefold office ministries to the church. 2 Corinthians 10:8. God gave Paul exousia, an ability, in order to edify the church. The Holy Spirit leads others to grow in Christ through divine exousia. In Luke 22:53, the power of darkness is given permission. This is your hour. Let's think about some more examples. Luke 19:17, authority to rule over. Luke 4:6, jurisdiction. Luke 4:6, jurisdiction, but using terms like territory or land or even, quote, peoples, quote. 1 Corinthians 4:1 and 1 Peter 4:10. One who has the authority / responsibility for as a manager. Acts 5:4, a state of control over someone or something. Mark 3:15, to have the power to do something with the implication of authority. Ephesians 2:2 and 6:12, supernatural forces and power in control of those disobeying God. Cosmic powers of this dark age. Ephesians 1:21. Christ rules above all rulers, authorities, powers, and forces, and any kind of supernatural powers. Exousia also means the right to judge on the basis of having the potential to evaluate. The right, freedom of choice, freedom of action, and power to evaluate. 1 Corinthians 8:9. Third word is kous. I-S-C-H-U-S is kous. Strong's 2479. 2479. I-S-X-Y-S is what it looks like when you write it out. From the Greek root is, quote, force, unquote. And Strong's word number 2192, exo, spelled E-X-O, quote, have, unquote. properly, force to overcoming immediate resistance. So that is properly the force to overcoming immediate resistance. And there's a reference from the BibleHub.com. This Greek word means, this is kous, this Greek word means strength, capability. It expresses the valiant, almighty force of divine power with its ability to penetrate opposition. We might think of military force. Dr. Fuchsia Pickett calls it, quote, the bulldozer breath, unquote. The preached word has this force. Acts 19:20. The supernatural power of the preached word convicts and convinces people in the conversion process of the Holy Spirit to turn to Christ for forgiveness of sin. In 1 John 2:14, John writes to young men, because they are strong, is kous. And the word of God abides in them, and they have overcome the wicked one. This is divine strength to conquer supernatural enemies. In Luke 21:36, Jesus admonished the disciples to ask for this mighty strength so as not to be overthrown in the approaching disasters of the last time, and so that they would be able to stand before the Son of Man. It is God's iskous power that delivers his people and brings them to their appointed end. Iskous can also mean physical strength, being strong with a strength which God provides. As in 1 Peter 4:11, this is God's power working in our physical bodies to strengthen us. Iskous is exceptional capability. It's exceptional capability, as Mark 12:30. The idea here is to love the Lord as completely as you can, as a total individual. Love the Lord completely with all you feel and all you think. It is not in us. This kind of love is better thought of as loyalty, supreme allegiance, fidelity, total trust leading to a radical, to the root, obedience. It is to obey Jesus' commands in heart, mind, soul, spirit, and life. To say that this kind of love for God is in us is to speak great swelling words and is boasting and making our own, quote, I will, quote, statements, which we cannot guarantee. The idea is, don't just go around telling people how much you love Jesus and how spiritual you are. Love is action. Don't boast about how much you love Jesus. God demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus to live as sin-bearer, curse-bearer, and bearer of the wrath of God. Jesus lived the life God required and died the death demanded by divine justice as surety and mediator of the new covenant in his blood. He rose again from the dead, an act which demonstrated that God the Father accepted the atoning work of Christ on behalf of those for whom he died. The gap between any love that we might have for the living God is far less than his love for us. We must always maintain that by by acknowledging the greatness of His perfect love. Our great swelling words of devotion, loyalty, supreme attachment, allegiance, and some perfect love can result in having those words tested by God along with demands by Satan to sift us like wheat, Matthew 16. Just do it by the grace of God and in His strength. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Yet, Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Thank you. And Father God, we come to you, Lord, amazed and full of wonder and call you wonderful. You are full of wonder. We are full of wonder and amazed by all you are and all you do. All the time, looking all around us, and we give you the glory and we give you the praise. Let us be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And Lord, give us strength. Give us the strength that we need. Grant us the grace, Lord, to obey through faith, which works by love, your love. And God, whatever we are going through, we will yet praise you, who is the health of our countenance and our God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you'd stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.